Today is the 16th day of June. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is it's awesome to be here with you today. Grateful to be here with you today as we gather together again from the four corners of the earth, from everywhere. Together, to be together, centered around one common purpose, and that is to take the next step forward in the scriptures. So I'm glad. My heart is glad that we can be here together today. We're in 1 Kings, and we've gotten through a lot of territory. We now know that the kingdom of Israel has split into two kingdoms, and we're kind of walking down the path of two different kingdoms and two different kings at the same time. And so we're in a portion where it's like we got to pay attention and just remember Judah and the king of Judah, whoever happens to be the king at the time that we're reading, is in the south, and that's where Jerusalem is. And then there are 10 tribes that are north of Jerusalem. That is the kingdom of Israel, and whoever its king is, we just have to keep track of Judah and Israel. And so let's jump in. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 25 through 17, verse 24 today. Nadab, son of Jeroboam, began to rule Israel in Asa's second year as king of Judah. He ruled for 2 years. He did what the Lord considered evil, living as his father did, leading Israel into the same sins. Then Baasha, son of Ahijah from the tribe of Issachar, plotted against Nadab. Baasha assassinated him in the Philistine city of Gibbethon, while Nadab and the Israelite forces were attacking it. The assassination happened in Asa's third year as king of Judah. Baasha succeeded Nadab as king of Israel. As soon as he was king, he killed everyone else in Jeroboam's family. He did not spare a soul, as the Lord had spoken through his servant Ahijah from Shiloh. This was because of Jeroboam's sins and the sins which he led Israel to commit. Those sins made the Lord God of Israel furious. Isn't everything else about Nadab, everything he did, written in the official records of the kings of Israel? There was war between Asa and Baasha as long as they lived. In Asa's third year as king of Judah, Baasha, son of Ahijah, began to rule in Israel in Tirzah. He ruled for 24 years. He did what the Lord considered evil. He lived like Jeroboam and led Israel into committing the same sins. The Lord spoke his word to Jehu, Hanani's son, against Baasha. He said, "I raised you from the dust and made you leader of my people Israel, but you have lived like Jeroboam. You have led my people to sin, and their sins make me furious. So I will destroy Baasha and his family. I will make his family like the family of Jeroboam, Nebat's son. Dogs will eat anyone from Baasha's family who dies in the city. Birds will eat anyone from his family who dies in the country." Isn't everything else about Baasha? What he did and his heroic acts written in the official records of the kings of Israel? Baasha laid down in death with his ancestors and was buried in Tirzah. His son Elah succeeded him as king. In addition, the Lord spoke his word to the prophet Jehu, Hanani's son, against Baasha and his family because of all the things Baasha did, which the Lord considered evil. Baasha's actions, which made the Lord furious, were like the sin of Jeroboam's family. The Lord was also furious because Baasha destroyed Jeroboam's family. Elah, son of Baasha, began to rule Israel in Asa's 26th year as Judah's king. He ruled in Tirzah for 2 years, but Zimri, the general who commanded half of Elah's chariots, plotted against him. Elah was getting drunk in Tirzah at Arza's house. Arza was in charge of the palace in Tirzah. Zimri entered Arza's house, attacked Elah, and killed him in Asa's 27th year as king of Judah. Zimri succeeded Elah as king of Israel. At the beginning of Zimri's reign, as soon as he was on his throne, he killed Baasha's entire family. He didn't spare any of Baasha's male relatives or friends. So Zimri destroyed Baasha's entire family, as the Lord had spoken through the prophet Jehu. This was for all the sins committed by Baasha and his son Elah. They sinned, led Israel to sin, and made the Lord God of Israel furious because of their worthless idols. Isn't everything else about Elah, everything he did, written in the official records of the kings of Israel? In Asa's 27th year as Judah's king, Zimri ruled for 7 days in Tirzah while the army was camped near the Philistine city of Gibbethon. When the army heard that Zimri had plotted against the king and killed him, the Israelite troops in the camp made Omri, the commander of the army, king of Israel. Omri and the Israelite troops with him left Gibbethon and attacked Tirzah. When Zimri saw that the city had been captured, he went into the stronghold in the royal palace and burned down the palace over his own head. He died because of the sins he had committed, the things the Lord considered evil. Zimri lived like Jeroboam and led Israel to sin. Isn't everything else about Zimri and his plot written in the official records of the kings of Israel? Then the army of Israel was divided into two factions. Half the army followed Tibni, son of Ginath, and wanted to make him king. The other half followed Omri. But the half which followed Omri was stronger than the half which followed Tibni, Ginath's son. Tibni died, and Omri became king. Omri began to rule Israel in Asa's 31st year as king of Judah. He ruled for 12 years, 6 of them in Tirzah. Omri bought a hill from Shamer for 150 pounds of silver. He fortified the hill and built the city of Samaria on it. He named the city after its former owner, Shamer. Omri did what the Lord considered evil. He did more evil things than all the kings before him. He lived exactly like Jeroboam, Nebat's son. He sinned and led Israel to sin with worthless idols, and the Israelites made the Lord God of Israel furious. Isn't everything else about Omri, what he did and his heroic acts, written in the official records of the kings of Israel? Omri lay down in death with his ancestors and was buried in Samaria. His son Ahab succeeded him as king. Ahab, son of Omri, began to rule Israel in Asa's 38th year as king of Judah. He ruled for 22 years in Samaria. Ahab, son of Omri, did what the Lord considered evil. He was worse than all the kings who were before him. It wasn't enough that he committed the same sins as Jeroboam, Nebat's son. He also married Jezebel, daughter of King Ethbaal of Sidon. Ahab then served and worshipped Baal. He built the temple of Baal in Samaria and set up an altar there. Ahab made poles dedicated to the goddess Asherah. He did more to make the Lord God of Israel furious than all the kings of Israel who came before him. In Ahab's time, Hiel from Bethel rebuilt Jericho. Laying the foundation cost him his firstborn son, Abiram. Setting up the city doors cost him his youngest son, Zegub. The Lord had spoken this through Joshua, son of Nun. Elijah, who was from Tishbe, but had settled in Gilead, said to Ahab, "I solemnly swear as the Lord God of Israel, whom I serve, lives. There will be no dew or rain during the next few years unless I say so." Then the Lord spoke his word to Elijah, "Leave here, turn east, and hide beside the Kerit River, which is east of the Jordan River. You can drink from the stream, and I've commanded ravens to feed you there." Elijah left and did what the Lord's word had told him. He went to live by the Kerit River, which is east of the Jordan River. Ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and in the evening, and he drank from the stream. But after some time, the stream dried up because no rain had fallen in the land. Then the Lord spoke his word to Elijah, "Get up, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. I've commanded a widow there to feed you." He got up and went to Zarephath. As he came to the town's entrance, a widow was gathering wood. He called to her, "Please bring me a drink of water." As she was going to get it, he called to her again, "Please bring me a piece of bread too." She said, "I solemnly swear as the Lord your God lives, I didn't bake any bread. I have one handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering wood. I'm going to prepare something for myself and my son so that we can eat it and then die." Then Elijah told her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you've said. But first make a small loaf and bring it to me. Then prepare something for yourself and your son. This is what the Lord God of Israel says. Until the Lord sends rain on the land, the jar of flour will never be empty and the jug will always contain oil." She did what Elijah had told her. So she, Elijah, and her family had food for a long time. The jar of flour never became empty, and the jug always contained olive oil, as the Lord had promised through Elijah. Afterwards, the son of the woman who owned the house got sick. He got so sick that finally no life was left in him. The woman asked Elijah, "What do you and I have in common, man of God? Did you come here to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" He said to her, "Give me your son." Elijah took him from her arms, carried him to the upstairs room where he was staying, and laid him on his own bed. Then he called to the Lord, "Lord, my God, have you brought misery on the widow I'm staying with by killing her son?" Then Elijah stretched himself over the boy three times and called to the Lord, "Lord, my God, please make this child's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's request, and the child's life returned to him. He was alive again. Elijah took the child, brought him down from the upstairs room of the house, and gave him to his mother. He said, "Look, your son is alive." The woman said to Elijah, "Now I'm convinced that you are a man of God and that the Lord's word from your mouth is true." Acts 10, 24 through 48. The following day, they arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called his relatives and close friends together. When Peter was about to enter Cornelius's house, Cornelius met him, bowed down, and worshipped Peter. But Peter made him get up. He told him, "Stand up, I'm only a man." As Peter talked, he entered Cornelius' house and found that many people had gathered. He said to them, "You understand how wrong it is for a Jewish man to associate or visit with anyone of another race. But God has shown me that I should no longer call anyone impure or unclean. That is why I didn't object to coming here when you sent for me. I want to know why you sent for me." Cornelius answered, "4 days ago, I was praying at home. It was at this same time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Suddenly, a man dressed in radiant clothes stood in front of me. He said to me, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and has remembered your gifts to the poor. So send messengers to Joppa and summon a man whose name is Simon Peter. He's a guest in the home of Simon, a leather worker who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately. Thank you for coming. All of us are here now in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has ordered you to say.' And Peter said, 'Now I understand that God doesn't play favorites. Rather, whoever respects God and does what is right is acceptable to him in any nation. God sent his word to the people of Israel and brought them the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. This Jesus Christ is everyone's Lord. You know what happened throughout Judea. Everything began in Galilee after John spread the news about baptism. You know that God anointed Jesus from Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Jesus went everywhere and did good things, such as healing everyone who was under the devil's power. Jesus did these things because God was with him. We can testify to everything Jesus did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. People hung him on a cross and killed him. But God brought him back to life on the 3rd day. God didn't show him to all the people. He showed Jesus to witnesses, apostles he had already chosen. We apostles are those men who ate and drank with Jesus after he came back to life. He ordered us to warn the people. God has appointed Jesus to judge the living and the dead. In addition, all the prophets testify that people who believe in one name, Jesus, receives forgiveness for their sins through him." While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit came to everyone who heard his message. All the believers who were circumcised and who had come with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured on people who were not Jewish. They heard these non-Jewish people speaking in other languages and praising God. And Peter said, "No one can refuse to baptize these people with water. They have received the Holy Spirit in the same way that we did." So Peter ordered that they should be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they asked Peter to stay with them for several days. Psalm 134, a song for going up to worship. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, all who stand in the house of the Lord night after night. Lift your hands toward the holy place and praise the Lord. May the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Proverbs 17:9-11. Whoever forgives an offense seeks love. But whoever keeps bringing up the issue separates the closest of friends. A reprimand impresses a person who has understanding more than 100 lashes impress a fool. A rebel looks for nothing but evil. Therefore, a cruel messenger will be sent to punish him. Okay, so we have seen monumental things happen in the Bible. There's not too many that top what we saw in the book of Acts today as far as like shifting the course of history and affecting the early church profoundly and like really setting up all that comes next. So yesterday, we read of a Roman official, Roman centurion, so a military leader. His name was Cornelius. Apparently a really good, devout person who loved God and was kind to the Jewish people, which that's a bit of an unusual thing. So he's a good person and he's praying and he has an angelic visitation instructing him to send to Joppa. And this is near, so he's in Caesarea, which is north, is like the ruins of Caesarea Maritima are still like spectacular. This was like a truly Roman city in this land and was made to be kind of like a destination place. And so he's there. Peter's in Joppa. That's on the coast, like a part of modern day Tel Aviv. So Cornelius is instructed to send for the apostle Peter. Meanwhile, Peter is having a vision of his own that like was mind blowing for him as far as his understanding of what clean and unclean means inside of his Jewish culture. Very counterintuitive. So Peter's having this vision. Cornelius is having his vision. Peter is sent for. The Holy Spirit tells Peter to go with the people who came. So today Cornelius and Peter meet and they don't exactly know why, other than that God had led them to be together. So when Peter enters the Roman centurion's home, he comments about how wrong that is in his culture, and Cornelius is bowing before him, assuming he's like significant, somehow spiritually significant because of the vision. And Peter's like quickly getting him back on his feet and saying like, I'm just a human being. Like, and this left them together in friendship, like in kindness toward each other. People that shouldn't really be in the same place at the same time in this kind of context with generosity between each other. And they didn't have any context. And so they share the stories because Cornelius is like, we're all here to hear what you have to say. And Peter's like, I'm not sure I'm supposed to be here. And so they start sharing stories. And then Peter begins to realize the purpose of his vision, that there isn't a distinction about who can be devoted to God, and that this clean and unclean vision was expanded to who people are. And so Peter starts to just share the story about Jesus. That's what he has been doing among the Jewish people. And the Holy Spirit fell on the Roman Gentiles who were in Cornelius's house. And Peter is shocked. And all the Jewish companions that came with Peter are shocked. And we can read that and go like, okay, cool. and not really see just how monumental this is, but that radically reframed and challenged and expanded the complete framework and understanding of the early Jewish believers. Because up to this point, Jewish people saw followers of Jesus largely as just a sect of people following a rabbi within the context of Judaism. And Jesus' followers assumed that faith in Jesus, he was the Jewish Messiah, so he's completely held within a Jewish context. So Gentiles receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, that wasn't thought possible. And then it happened. So they had to like put their minds back together after having him blown and become aware that God is doing something vastly more expansive through Jesus than they had understood. And that created tension. Like, significantly, we'll see this for the rest of the Bible, but we'll especially see this with the life of the Apostle Paul. So from this point, from like this point in today's reading, the church is pulled forward into something new that was unexpected and really, really challenged them. Everyone in the world was welcome to be in the family of God through Jesus. Even non-Jewish people, even Romans, the Gentiles. That very, very much affects us all the way in until today, because not all of us, but most of us would be considered Gentiles. And so what we just take for granted begins with this encounter between Peter and Cornelius, shaping and shifting everything that happens next and following us all the way until this very day. So, Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for that story. And we thank you for that happening. We wouldn't be here around any kind of global campfire otherwise. You have grafted us in. You have welcomed us in. That we can enter into relationship with you. That we can be in covenant with you. If we desire, like if we will give our hearts holy and devoted to being loyal and faithful to you, then we are a part of your family. Nobody is excluded from this invitation. Thank you. Thank you. And as we continue the story forward and just kind of see the reverberations and repercussions of all that, we will understand what our brothers and sisters were facing and the consequences of what they were facing. And that will guide and lead our own lives for the things that we are facing. And so, Holy Spirit, come. Lead us into all truth. Lead us deeper into intimacy and faithfulness and loyalty to Jesus. Lead us on the narrow path that leads to life. Lead us deeper into our own hearts. We are watching the early church be radically transformed in mind-blowing ways that they cannot get their heads around, that you are doing things that you shouldn't, that culturally should not be doing. And so they have to reframe everything. Give us open hearts and open minds to your transformation. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base, the Daily Audio Bible app, is also home base, so App Store or web, get connected. Stay connected, be connected. Check out the different sections, like the community section. That's where the prayer wall lives. It is also the container for the social media links to the channels that we participate in, and we're very regularly trying to send words of encouragement or little videos or little behind-the-scenes things. So stay connected there if you are in any of those realms. Stay connected to the journey that we are on. Also reminding you, there's some new music. We've been releasing new music this year to celebrate 20 years, and so we've released the third song of the year. It's called Love Will Not Care. It is a song that I have written and sung first in 20 years. First time in 20 years ever, anything like that. And so letting you know that is available anywhere you can stream music: Apple Music, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, YouTube Music, anywhere you can listen to music. Just search for my name or Love Will Not Care, and hopefully you can add that to your playlists and make it a part of your journey and share those words and the meaning of them with those that you are committed to and those that you love. Also, the music video for Love Will Not Care is available. You can find that on places like YouTube, on the Daily Audio Bible channel, or wherever it is, Apple Music, wherever you watch your music. And you can share that as well with those in your life that need to hear those words. And they are words we all need to hear, so check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. Truly thank you. We would not be here. This would not be the 20th, 16th day of June if we were not in this together, and so thank you. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for you. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, this is Jay from the Northwest. I wanted to say a prayer for some people and also give a praise report and ask for prayer. I want to pray for Sparky and his son, for God's love to be just surround them at this very difficult time. For Susan, God's yellow flower, for God's peace to be even more palpable on more difficult days. And for the gentleman that doesn't mention his name, I'm praying for your marriage. I'm asking for prayer. I had a PET scan and it revealed a mass on my brain. I have a MRI on June 24th, so please pray, if you would, that it's there's no concern in what they find. And a praise report. I had mentioned earlier that they were looking further into my lungs. There were some things, nodules, large ones. It looks appears to be just scarring, so praise God for that. But thank you for your prayers on the MRI coming up. I love all of you. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Okay, bye-bye.
Hi, folks. This is Bart in Kentucky. and I'm asking you for urgent prayer for Callie. She's a Down syndrome adult, young adult in New York City, and she's hospitalized with a failing heart. She's a very dear friend of a co-worker of mine, and so pray with me, please. Lord, we lift up Callie to you. We ask for your supernatural healing. Please perform a miracle on this young lady and have it be a testament to your greatness, your love, and your mercy for your children. It is in Jesus' name that I do ask this. Amen. Thank you, folks. This is Bart, Kentucky, and I'm walking in the light. Have a good day.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible. This is Vicki from the desert. I just want to share a little bit about myself. I'm a recovering alcoholic addict, and I've been clean and sober for 34 years. And just to share how God has allowed me to stay clean and sober, which I could never do by myself. And I just wake up in the morning and say, Dear Heavenly Father, Dear Jesus, please keep me clean and sober today. I thank you for that, and I praise your holy name. And I ask that you keep me clean and sober like you have for the last many, many days. And I thank you, God, that you listen to me and hear me. And I thank you, Jesus, that you intercede with the Father for me, and you have made it possible for me to be forgiven and cleansed of my sins, and for God to hear my prayer and answer my prayer. Heavenly Father keeps me clean and sober, and he will you also, if that is your problem. Thank you, Daily Audio Bible family.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible. This is Joyful in Virginia. And I was just calling to pray for Shannon Fernandez. Her mother called in. And I just wanted to suggest, you said that scripture doesn't retain in your mind. But what I've found that really helps get the scripture in my mind is music. Encourage your daughter to listen to music, to Christian music that speaks, that is the words of God in them. That she would just praise and worship music, that it just would speak to her heart and calm her and keep her. I'll be praying for all of you. And Lord, yeah, we just ask that you would just bring your peace over the household. We pray that this final thing, it would be not Lou Gehrig's disease, but something easier, more healable. And but I know that you're with them no matter what is going on. And I pray that you would just really bring your peace on this lady's daughter and her husband. That you would just comfort them and keep them and walk before them and right beside them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.